doesn't matter. It is such a powerful quote from D.L. Moody. And it has been attributed to a whole bunch of other people, but sadly, they lived way later than he did. And a recent author actually gave some credit for the quote, and then he added to the quote these words: "Make sure you are making your life count for something, and not just tiptoeing through life trying to get to death safely." Now that last part sounds weird, but listen again. Make sure you are making your life count for something, not just tiptoeing through life trying to get to death safely. I think Moody and this author, they're in line with our sermon text today, or topic today. It is our response to Jesus' call on our lives a tiptoeing through life, or is it a search for spiritual significance as we do daily life in the world in which we live? In our current sermon adventures, we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit as identified by Paul to the Galatians. Let me read those words again. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such things there is no law. The one who belongs to Christ Jesus has crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. And since he lives by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other." First of all, we've considered four fruit of the Spirit. Love is a choice for the good of the other. Joy is a contentment because we know faith. Peace, it is a soul wholeness because we know Jesus Savior. And patience, it's a sense of steady or firm regardless. And each fruit displayed in our daily lives is a reflection of Jesus' spiritual life. He plants his Spirit within us when we ask him to rescue us from our sins. And when he does that, we have access to all that is Jesus. The fruit that is displayed in our lives is not the fruit of our efforts. We don't do good and look good. We don't try to act like Jesus. But it is the result of being with Jesus. These fruits are not a product. And if the fruit are a result of time with Jesus, so that we might be more like Jesus, it makes sense then that you and I would want to invest time being with Jesus, hanging out with Jesus. Now that's something that we know as we think about daily life. Am I hanging out with Jesus? And what does that look like for you? Today, I'd like to take a closer look at kindness. And that word that the author used when he claimed this is a loaded word. I'm going to unpack it through the morning. But just on the front end, some of the peripheral translations for that word in other places it's used is goodness, gentleness, comfortable, useful. So all in that word that the author chose to use when he described that fruit. And what we're going to discover is that kindness is more of a flow through of fruit rather than a dwell in it fruit. One of the places, the verbs or actions that several scriptures capture as they write or parallel through the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ Jesus forgave you. He's talking about being and doing. In 1 Corinthians 13, you know these words. Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. These acts of power flow out of our relationship with Jesus in other lives. Luke chapter 6. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. He is inviting us to offer acts of kindness as retaliation. This is an interesting thought. The return is that kindness is to be fleshed out in the various actions or responses that we have in relation with those who are around us. So we will observe that kindness is listed among the behaviors that Jesus, Paul, and others accepted of those who know Jesus' Savior. Each kindness is an expression of Jesus in us and through us. And so if people living around us fail to see any expressions of kindness, one might wonder what's going on inside of us that we're not able to express this to those around us. And it could be simply being helpful, meeting a need, avoiding harsh reactions to it. As we look at each of these spiritual fruits, we observe that there is this delicate balance, and I hope you touch this balance, I'm going to say it twice, that we are simply blessed with the fruit because we know Jesus, and that we are to work to put on the fruit as we would clothing. We are simply blessed with the fruit because we know Jesus' Savior, but we are to work to put on the fruit as we do our clothing. And we see that in these passages that parallel Paul's words in Galatians. These are not the work that we create, but as we work to get closer to Jesus, as we look to have His Spirit have more of a home in our lives, fruit happens. Fruit happens as we know Jesus better. And as we choose Jesus' kinds of behavior, and we can do that. We can go in a situation and say, oh, I can do this, or I can do this. And simply say, Jesus will do this, I guess I should do this. But sometimes, we can do this anyway. And it talks to us, and it should remind us that there's still work to take place in our lives. In Colossians chapter 3, beginning verse 12, we see these words. Therefore, God's chosen people, I love that, God's chosen people. You're not a Christian by accident. Therefore, God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. So notice the do statement that reflects an invite to follow Jesus. Do what He did. Clothe yourself. Bear with and forgive. Invitations to choose to be like Jesus. You're not where you are by accident. You are not where you are, and you have no purpose there. You are Jesus on display through your responses and your stepping toward other people. Now, a kindness could be, a simple, nice gesture. Like the other day, I gave shares of friendship to somebody who gave me some of their ice cream for it. But sometimes, we might ask George if he needs a ride simply because we know it's car broken. Now, kindnesses, and I don't know that I ever actually thought this through, but kindness can also be, according to the author, a supernaturally generous orientation of a heart toward other people, even when they don't deserve it. A supernaturally generous orientation of a heart toward another, even when they don't deserve it. Kindness can even embrace an enemy. And the fact that kindness is an invitation to the other. Our act of kindness them to draw closer to us, but ultimately closer to Jesus. Now Jesus models kindness, but it's rejected. And though it was rejected, it remains offered. And it remains offered. And it remains offered. I just wanted to touch that. Even though it was previously rejected, listen to some words that the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 2. Or do you show contempt? He's talking to the law. Or do you show contempt for the riches of it? He's talking to the lost in the church. Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, for balance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? The unrepentant, while still enemies of God, of Jesus, are repeatedly offered the kindness of forgiveness. Salvation is an open offer to all who don't know Jesus until they die or until Jesus returns. And they can reject Jesus over and over and over again, and the offer of the kindness of salvation remains a legitimate, true offer. And I can tell you, I know from personal experience, that is true. I did not come to faith easily. I fought. And I argued. And I disagreed. And sometimes I think I sinned just to prove the point that I could. And I know some of you know that experience as well. But I need to find the people who reflect Jesus in our relationship. Always. Some of us have harsh words, and that seems to be our natural tendency. You know who you are. But kindness should flow from our lips as well as through our hands and our feet. And though seemingly simple, in fact, kindness carries weight. Kindness can be heavy. Kindness flows faster through friendship. Kindness meets the soul needs of the lost. Kindness opens our lives to more of Jesus, and kindness is a doorway to a deeper life, and these things matter, my friend. Very solid and also remind us that kindness cannot be practiced in isolation. Well, I'll come into myself today. I let myself sleep in. That's the point. Kindness is an offering to another person. Yeah. It could be accepted. It might be rejected. But the offering is still a measurable kindness. This is what I'm offering. And when bestowed, kindness is a choice. Even in those intentional and or precise moments where I choose to be kind to you, or all of them, it's precise in how we spend it out because we are offering it. It's a choice on our part. And perhaps this is what Jesus had in mind in Luke chapter 6. But love your enemies. Be good to them. Lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Surely is a kindness. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. We don't practice kindness to get. We prayer is we have Jesus within us. But being able to isn't enough. We have to choose to. He enables us from within, but we who get in the way have to choose to offer kindness. And kindness makes a difference in our world, in the other, and even in ourselves. Kindness opens others' eyes, perhaps to see Jesus fleshed out in our lives, our generous gift, the time we give away, openness to a new friendship, embracing someone who is difficult, or embracing a difficult situation with somebody who needs them, needs company. Our fruit of kindness might lead to a Jesus conversation. Why would you do that? Why would you offer that? In response? Well, you know, it's the right thing to do. But anyway, when I hear that kind of statement, what I hear is, please tell me about Jesus. And you can just simply say, because of Jesus. And see if it goes anywhere. Or you can say, well, because I have this relationship with Jesus Christ, that it changed my life, and, well, it's easy to become. Or easier to become. It could lead to that kind of a conversation. And it seems easy to be kind, to invade others' lives with grace, and it can be. But at the same time, it can also be costly. Kindness can be costly. One of the things I do in traffic is occasionally stop traffic to let somebody in. They seem timid. They seem scared. And I will stop and I'll go. And they're not pleased. They might even wave if they can get their light bulb off the steering wheel. But those behind me, they're not amused. I get hacked. I get hand signals. I get bumpers right up against my back bumper. Never been hit yet. And I smile. Because I was coming. And then help the guy behind me be kind. And the 20 behind me. I've also offered meals to panhandlers, only to be rudely turned down. And they raise their arm and say, I'm not a child! And no one benefits from that scene. I don't. I become frustrated. They don't because they don't receive, and they further vent their own venom. But I'm pretty sure I'm going to keep doing that. Because I have taken some of them to dinner. But it's still a kindness that was offered. One author of praying kindness suggested that there's actually a logic to kindness. And they wrote this huge thing, and I'd love to read it to you, but you would leave. They wrote that compassion and patience are what makes kindness possible. And they also that compassion and patience is the soil out of which kindness is birthed. Compassion and patience are the soil out of which kindness is birthed. They say that compassion is the emotional heart response that finds expression through patience. And they gave an example of this story before, and it's just one. But if somebody has hurt you, and this is what they say is going on in your head and your mind, I observe the need. I make space to consider how I might get past what he or she has done. After that, it's the patience. Rather than brush them off or shrug them off, you're patient with them. And then you develop, and your mind is coming in alongside your heart, develop and act on a good plan to offer something better into their life. That's the compassion. So your mind is thinking through, helping you be patient with them. Your heart is processing so that you can be compassionate, and the fruit is the kindness that you offer. Could be the same in process. Because, you know, maybe the next person I write salvation. It's not what we do for ourselves, but it's what we offer another. And that makes sense, that it's compassion and action, because there's a churning in us to be ached and hurt and lost and other. And the response is to say, oh, that's really sad. But the Holy Spirit is pushing us to do, to offer what might be done. You have to go to work. First of all, what is it love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth? He's talking about kindness here, but I wanted to respond to John and to add to that, that words can be an act of kindness, especially to somebody who has been beaten down with words. So keep that in mind. Jesus and others spoke much of kindness, to and with each other, and for the one who is under. He spoke of words and gifts and actions that legitimately meet a need. And Jesus was the one who said, the most important commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And if that's how you're living your life, the second commandment is this, and it is doable. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Now, this is interesting. He gives two commandments to answer the question for the one, because they are so intimately attached. If you love God with all your heart, all your being, you cannot not do it like that. Or we shouldn't be able to do that. The natural flow of sin in us and through us. And I think Jesus captures the way that I'm trying to say for it. And whether they're my words or bad words, our soul caring for one another is a caring for their soul, it's caring for the heart as we meet the physical needs that we're addressing. And at the end of the day, D.L. Moody captured an appropriate idea, doing daily life such that we will succeed at the things that really matter. Now, I don't know about you, but I do a whole bunch of stuff that does not matter. I just do it. Sometimes I do it because it pleases me. I confess right now. Yesterday for dinner, I had an ice cream sundae. Now, there's probably not a person on the planet who says, good job, Jeff. Yeah. Really take care of yourself. And they say, I could have done that myself. But do we choose to do the things that matter? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Kindness could be a feeling. Kindness could be a benefit. For you and me begin with God feeling touched from the cross. And the act continues as the be-kinded person, that's the person who was the recipient of the kindness, as the be-kinded person becomes the carrier of the next generation of kindness. When you and I choose to act in a kind way to someone else, we are planting in the soil of their lives the seed of kindness with the hope and the possibility that it will blossom in their lives. I want to believe that all the people I have allowed into traffic, even if they deliberately drove very slowly in front of me and they irritated me, that at some point they would do the same kindness to someone else. Carrier of a disease called kindness. I hope you all can. I'm usually inclined to think Jesus writes whatever he speaks. I'm usually inclined to believe that. And he often speaks in the situations and conflicts. And so when Jesus spoke about the future of his return in Matthew 24 and 25, his call to watch for living seems to be late. Or hatred with a strong challenge to be praised. Listen to these words that he shared with his disciples. Matthew 25, verse 34. Then he told the sons of those at his right, "Come, you are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, and the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat, kindness. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink, kindness. I was a stranger, and you invited me in, kindness. I needed clothing, and you clothed me, kindness. I was sick, and you looked after me, kindness. I was in prison, and you came to me." And these will be identifying marks of those who are part of the kingdom. Then the righteous will answer and say, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in and even clothe and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" Rehearsing what he said describes them. And the king will reply, "Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these, you did it for me." Acts of kindness are not only salvation in heaven, but are evidences of new life in those who find it normal to offer kindness to others. I'm not suggesting that you are not kind, you won't find a place in heaven. Because that story is based on faith in Jesus Christ, Savior. His life, his death, his resurrection, and new life. Heaven is a faith issue. But Jesus found a connection to those who will be in heaven and how they live now. In kindness, they're closer than life. So if somebody sees kindness in you because you have Jesus in you, you're satisfying where Jesus is going with his words. We should look like what we claim. We should smell like what we claim. Our touch should be healing based on what we claim. There should be no distance between claiming, "I know Jesus, I go to church, I read my Bible, and how I live my life." They should intersect, overlap. At the end of the day, the fruit of the Spirit we refer to as kindness or acts of kindness is a good indicator that the Holy Spirit might be part of the life that offers these things. I ask you this morning to be your own judge. What do you see in and through your life? Do you see Jesus' behavior, like kindness, as decorations on the way you live your life, especially as you live your life in community? Are you known as a kind person? When your people identify you as crazy that at that time, man, I can't believe the look he gives me. Two last quotes without comment. Kindness is an action. It's the right words, the right gestures, the right deeds. It communicates God's love sincerely and plainly. Kindness has to be done and shown to another person. Kindness is a lifestyle. It's a daily practice, it's a choice. A tree does not transform into a tree overnight. It's the same as kindness. We must be faithful every day to bear the good fruit of